Great. Just turn to Acts for a minute, chapter 1. Don't know about you, but we can get so wrapped up in vision, so wrapped up in ourselves, in our own lives, and we can complicate the whole jolly thing. And I believe God wants us just to be very, very simple in our lives as Christians. We are just incredibly blessed as to what we understand from the Word, the richness of what God has done in our lives, what He said to us, what we have inside of us. And I just believe God wants to release us this morning, encourage us, and especially over these next few months where there's a lot going on in terms of events or all kinds of things where the gospel is going to be preached. We're reaching out to thousands of people over these next couple of months or so in particular, especially in the area here, that thousands and thousands of people in these coming couple of months are going to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
Now, what we are not talking about this morning is evangelism.
That's it.
Right.
All right, let's just start there, because what we'll do is we'll just put our evangelistic hats on. You know, oh, we're talking about evangelism this morning. No, we're not talking about evangelism. We're talking about a dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work that we are living in as believers and as a church, that as we go proclaiming, declaring, preaching the gospel, and signs accompany, there's something of the Holy Spirit, something of heaven that comes down onto the earth. We're not just talking about having a quick foray in the town and preaching the gospel a little bit, or having an event where we just preach the gospel and hopefully somebody will come to the front and respond and that's the end of it. We're talking about a dynamic of the Holy Spirit at work in and amongst us that spills out, flows out of everything we are, everybody, everything that of who we are, so that the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, comes with a whole dynamic of heaven on earth.
Amen.
That's what it talks about in the Bible, and that's what we want to see take place. Just look at the beginning of Acts here. Let's just read some of it. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Notice the two things there, what he did and what he said. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, that's all happened to us, right? So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, just notice what's going on here. In verse 4, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So now Jesus is talking to them about what they are about to receive, okay? What's about to happen to them, but they don't understand that. And their response to that was, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" So they're putting the emphasis back on him. Yeah, yeah, great, great about the Holy Spirit. But are you about to restore the kingdom? Are you about to come and kind of bring Israel back into, give us our own nation back, our own land and everything? And are we now going to have that revolution that we've been looking for? Are you about to do that after all the things that we've seen and heard you do over the last few years? Are you now going to come and do that revolutionary thing that we thought the Messiah was going to do? What does Jesus say? Verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power." So he flips it back to them. You're about to receive something, and when you receive whatever you're going to receive, you're going to have power to then be witnesses in the city here, in the nation, and to other nations, other people groups, and to the rest of the world. What is God saying? What he's saying is, stop asking me to do things that you're supposed to do. And do the things that you're supposed to do. That's what he's saying to these guys. But they keep flipping it back to him. But Jesus, yes, but come on, you're supposed to do it. And he's saying, no, you're supposed to do something. But aren't you going to come and restore your kingdom? No, you go and see the kingdom.
Come on.
Get established, restored. You go and bring the kingdom. But they're saying, yeah, but you bring the kingdom. When are you going to... And he's saying, no, you go and take the kingdom. And in order to do that, you're going to receive power to do it. So stop asking me to do things that I'm now putting in your hands to do. So they went to the upper room. We know the story. They prayed. And obviously God was working amongst them. They cast lots. Got a 12th apostle. Holy Spirit came. Decked the lot of them. Wind, fire, speaking in tongues. They looked drunk. They spilled out onto the street. People took the mickey out of them. Peter stood up. Now he stood up 6 weeks before. Fearful, intimidated. Didn't want to be known to be with Jesus, yet the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and then he begins to preach the gospel. There's a boldness there, there's a courage there. He begins to preach the gospel pretty full on when you see what he says to the people, pretty simple, but very full on. But the Holy Spirit cuts people to the heart. And as we said a minute ago during the worship sort of time, whatever was going on there, that the Holy Spirit will only confirm the real preaching of what's in here, of the truth, of the gospel. However nice we try to make it, however palatable we try to put it, the Holy Spirit can only work with the amount of truth that is communicated.
That's it.
If we communicate the gospel in a nice, palatable way, the Holy Spirit only has a little bit to work with. But if we communicate the gospel in the way that it really is, then the Holy Spirit has something more to work with, because he'll only work with the truth. He won't work with half a truth. What does that mean? That means we don't preach a message of condemnation. That's not what Peter did. The message he preached, as we see in verse 36, where he says, therefore, let all Israel be restored of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, pretty straight, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Yep. What must we do, or what shall we do in response? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them. Interesting, that, isn't it? With many other words, he warned them, but he pleaded with them.
Yeah, right.
Wow. How often do we plead with people to be born again?
That's it.
Wow.
Don't know, probably not a lot. But these guys pleaded. Why? They'd been with Jesus. Something was happening in their lives that there was a, you can call it a desperation, you can call it a passion, you can call it a love, you can call it whatever you want, a burden. But there was something happening in these guys' lives where they just couldn't walk away from just giving the message and, well, that would do, we've done our job. Something was happening in them where they just had, they pleaded with them. Even though they said, what must we do? They still carried on pleading with them. Why? Because there was such a passion inside of them for the souls of men, for people to be born again of the Spirit. Those that accepted the message that day were 3,000, they were all baptized, or 3,000 were baptized and added to their number. The dynamic of the Holy Spirit was at work. We've read a lot of this stuff before. That dynamic of life that was at work in the early church, sharing of life, laying down their lives for each other, selling possessions, making sure that nobody was in need, in each other's homes, breaking bread, praising God, all of that was going on. What is all of this? It's a dynamic of the life of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a bit of evangelism. It's more than just an outreach. It's more than just fulfilling a duty as a believer to share the gospel with somebody. They were, as you read through Acts, we haven't got time to go through all the stuff, but they were accused of turning the whole city upside down with their message. The gospel will never be received by everybody. Without contention, without opposition, without friction, tension, without upsetting somebody. The squeeze is on. In every aspect of society, the squeeze is on for the gospel. 20 years ago, if you preached the gospel, you got a lot less hassle than you do now in this country. In 2007 now, we know there's certain things you can say and get into trouble for or be accused of, but the gospel's never, ever, ever going to change. Society will always change. Morals will always decline. Things will always move further away from God. But yet the gospel never, ever, ever changes. But yet the gospel is good news. We're not just talking about a hard message here this morning that we just want to hit people with, like it or not. Just turn over to chapter 4. Three 3,000 had been saved. Others were getting added. They'd seen the crippled beggar healed. Obviously, they've probably seen lots of other things healed because it says that many miracles were done. Loads of stuff was happening. Peter and John were hauled up before the Sadducees, and they were questioned. And verse 2, it says, the religious people were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. How many of you know that it's not always going to go well? Sometimes God, well, let's not, well, yeah, maybe. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that we don't want to be in, or we don't necessarily think God's in, or, well, if the Holy Spirit's going to lead us, surely we wouldn't find ourselves in jail or in a position of being opposed or people coming against us. But yet, in that, God works, does stuff, moves, opens up opportunities. In the midst of circumstances that might not add up for us or be God's blessing or what we understand as God's best, but yet sometimes the adverse circumstances or the opposite circumstances of what we feel or think we should be in, we find ourselves in, but that's exactly the place where for some reason God wants to do something. Last night, we were... I'll just tell you a little story. Probably a little bit anorak-ish, okay, when you hear what the story's about. But I changed my car recently, right? And I got this little sporty thing. And and I heard that there was a whole load of owners of the same kind of vehicle that I own. We're having this get-together about half an hour away from here. And so Jane and me, my wife and I, thought, let's just, for a laugh, just go and see how anorak-ish this really is. And we might be there for 10 minutes and, you know, disappear off. And, you know, but we thought, let's go and have a look at this event and just talk to people. Now, as we left the house, we started driving up the road, and another couple, Warren and Tracy, were coming with us. They were following in the same vehicle, same make of vehicle. And we were going off to this thing. And as Jane and I were driving up the road, we started to... It was like, hang on a minute, have we got any Ultimate Life, Ultimate Car, Ultimate Life stuff with us? Because if we're going to this petrol heads evening, then we need to take the stuff. But because we didn't have any flyers that are ready, and all the ones we have had, they've all been given out, it's like we didn't have anything on us. So we thought, okay, well, when we get there, we'll just tell people about it, tell them about the website. And because this evening was organised by a magazine that promotes this sort of make of car, then... we thought, well, let's talk to the people who write to the mag, tell them about the event, and see if we can get them to even come. So we're going to to this event and all this sort of thing. And as we were talking about this and get excited, my car started to play up, and and we had to pull over to the side of the road because the brake calipers got stuck on the front. And so we thought, fantastic, great, you know. And anyway, we waited 2.25 hours for the RAC to eventually arrive, bless them. And as you know, the guy who was driving the truck, you know, we got in and we began to talk to him. And he talked about, obviously he's a truck driver and puts cars on the back of trucks and takes them to wherever they're supposed to go. But also what he does is he does loads of music in Brighton. And they do these big club events and... that they've got this big live event the same night as we've got Ultimate Car, Ultimate Life, but it starts at midnight and goes to 5 a.m. And so he was telling me about all this, and it's quite unique. He said that it's the first, him and his mates who run these events in these clubs, they're the first people that live stream certain things and do certain, I don't know, he was explaining it. I got a bit lost at one point because he was really excited about what he was doing. And so he was telling us about this event. So we started telling him about what we do and about, you know, Ultimate Car. And, you know, I thought, well, he's interested in cars. So we told him all this stuff. He was blown away that, you know, firstly, that we were Christians because he thought we were too young to to be Christians. And to even, you know, what do you do? I said, well, I lead a church. I'm a pastor. And he was like, what? You know. And the funny thing was, he grew up in Luton. Wow. And this is amazing, you know, and he's just literally moved down here 3 months ago, lived down here 4 months ago, lives in Brighton. So so I said, well, look, why don't you come to our event, you know, and explain the whole thing. There's going to be loads of cars and all that. And so by the time we got home, we managed to find a coloured photocopied version of the flyer. So we kind of gave him these two sheets of paper. Anyway, we said, bit of a busky thing here, mate, but look, this is the event, you know, come to it. And he's like, I'm up for it, mate, I'm going to be there. And he said, can I put this on the wall where all the truck drivers are, where we work? And so he said, because they're all into cars. And so I said, yeah, mate. He said, I'm going to be there. He said, but will you come to my event afterwards? So I'm like, what time is it? He said, 12. I said, what time does it finish? 5. So I'm like, right, so it's from 12 at night to 5 in the morning, right? And he's like, yeah, but will you come? He said, if I come to yours, will you come to mine? So on the 19th of May, we've got a whole bunch of truck drivers and all that coming to Ultimate Car, and then I'm going clubbing from 12 to 5 in the morning. Does anybody want to come with me? Okay, put it in your diary, right? I haven't got a clue what kind of club it is or what it'll be like or anything. When we eventually got into the house, Jane said to me, "Don't think the bloke's gay, do you?" or anything. I'm like, no. There's a lot of clubs now like that down in Brighton. But anyway, he's not that sort of bloke. So it's going to be a long weekend, that one. So when everybody that comes, all of us, we're going to roll into church at some point like this. Hallelujah. That's going to be cool. So I'm going to need a few of those Red Bulls or whatever for the night. But I'm still going to contact this magazine today. I'm going to email them and say, bit of a sob story on your way to your event, you know, with me anorak on. And, you know, my car broke down, da 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 da. But, you know, do you want to come to this event, check it out, and all this sort of, you never know, do you? So they're only based, this magazine's only based up the road, so South London. So you never know. But sometimes you find yourself in situations that you don't want to be in, but yet you find you meet somebody for a God appointment.
Yeah.
And who knows where that's going to go, but I mean, this guy was up for it. He's like, give me a phone number, write your name, give me a phone number and everything. So so he's going to be coming, he's going to be bringing a load of trucky mates and all that sort of thing, which would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe we need to hire a coach or something and go down there. What do you reckon? Yeah. Well, we'll stick a list up and you can write your name down or something. We'll organise some transport, shall we, and all go down. Yeah. The term hasn't finished yet. No, you're still here, aren't you? Cool. Wouldn't it be great, eh? Go down there. I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll go down there anyway and see what happens. What's that? You got a day off on Monday? Oh, that's cool then. All right. So we'll stay up all night, shall we? Go clubbing in Brighton and... And just see what God wants to do. I don't know. And anyway, it's got a point. Many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. When you follow the story through, verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why was the gospel so powerful when they preached it? Because they had been with Jesus. That is it. You can be anointed. You can be gifted. You can have it all going for you. But the difference is whether you've been with Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it.
Yes, Lord.
Yep. God loves to reveal himself to others through people that have been with him. There's lots of people, maybe lots of us, that want results, want the end result. But how do you get the end result? By being with Jesus.
That's it.
That's the difference, isn't it?
That's it.
That's it. Ordinary blokes, unschooled, rough and ready, just being with Jesus. So it's not about how far you might be able to advance in ministry or how many years you've been a Christian, how much knowledge you've got, how you think you need to feel, what level you think you need to get at, if there is such a thing as levels of Christianity. Simply just being with Jesus, knowing Jesus, having a passion for Jesus, wanting to know him. It's not about fulfilling a vision. It's not about all of that stuff. I mean, all that's involved. You've got to have a vision to know where you're going. But we're not living for a vision. See, if we just live for a vision, we're just living for results. We're just living for something that we think we know what it's going to look like when we get there, but actually it's going to be very different.
Yeah.
What's it all about? At the end of the day, it's about people, isn't it?
That's it.
God fulfilling his purpose for the salvation of mankind.
Yeah.
Again, they continued to be persecuted, got let out of jail, went to the believers, explained what happened. They began to pray. Building shook. Holy Spirit moved amongst them. We can just read through. I mean, what it would be great at some point, when you got time, it's pretty easy to do. Just read through the book of Acts and just get a pen or a pencil and underline every time it talks about the Holy Spirit. Or every time something happens, just put a star by it or and you, it's just the Holy Spirit all the way through the whole book. And you realize just when you start reading through it, how, in one sense, how much we probably don't trust the Holy Spirit in a lot of what we do. Or, you know, we think we can handle certain things. But these guys had such a dependency on the Holy Spirit. That it was just so, so simple.
Yes.
Love for Jesus, tell people about him.
That's it.
Love for Jesus, tell people about him.
That's it.
Love for Jesus, tell people about him. Just want to be with Jesus, tell people about him. It's not evangelism, it's not outreach, it's not a program. It's just simply loving Jesus, passion to know him.
Yep.
It affects the way you pray.
Yep.
You find you pray less words.
Yep.
And you just find yourself crying out to God, really, for people's lives, because you know your words just don't do it. But what's going on? It's your heart connecting with his.
Yes.
And when it's like that, you just, what you do, it's just his heart turning over in yours, and you can't find the words. You just pick up his heart, the passion that is in his heart for people, for their lives, for their destinies.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen. Let's all stand up, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
There's a button in your life, and it's called decomplicate everything.
Awesome.
You need to press that button this morning and decomplicate your Christian life.
Hallelujah.
Just press it now in your mind. Because some people are thinking, oh, that's just too simple.
Yeah.
It's got to be more difficult than that.
Yeah.
It's got to be more complicated than that. I need more teaching than that to believe it. Just press that button right now. In the name of Jesus. And stamp on that phone.
Yes, amen. Come on.
You never know. Anyway. Just press that button.
Yeah.
I decomplicate my Christian life right now. I just choose to, for some, to go back to the simplicity of believing.
Yes, Lord.
That you can do something through my life.
Come on,
yeah.
When I just simply believe.
That's it.
Just decomplicate. Thank you, Jesus. What is our Christian life really all about? It's about being with Him and then sharing Him with other people. That is it.
That's it.
That is it. It's being with Him. It's knowing Him. It's not about quiet times. It's forget that. It's not about fulfilling your quiet time or having a time with Jesus, you know, in terms of I'm supposed to. You want to be with Him just because you want to be with Him.
Yeah.
You want to just sit down sometimes and just sit in His presence and listen to Him and let the Holy Spirit just roll over your life. So it's just like, Jesus, you're awesome. You're just so amazing. I just want to be here with you. Sometimes the most intimate moments you can have with somebody are when you don't say anything. You just together.
That's right.
Yep. You just sitting down. Embracing, in terms of just chilling.
Yep.
Without saying anything. But yet, that moment, you can just feel so at one. Let's just put it this way, with your husband or wife. Because to be intimate in that, to the degree we're talking about, with another person, you need to be married. But Jesus parallels the intimacy of marriage with our relationship with Him. You see, what it says in there is they saw that they'd been with Him. Just declutter right now your understanding and perception of spending time with Jesus. Feeling like you've got to get somewhere, you've got to pray in a certain way. It's just simply being with Him. Like you are now. You just find rolling off your lips is just love for Him. You're not looking to get anywhere with Him, you're just with Him. And right in the middle of that moment, He's with you. He speaks to you. Sometimes you just get a sense of His presence. Sometimes you can just sit there and you can just be overwhelmed with a sense of His amazing love. It's being with Him. What does that do? Keeps your heart soft. Keeps your heart open. It keeps you teachable. Father, I thank You just out of that simplicity of knowing You, of being with You. Abiding in You, as it were. Everything else flows from that. Knowing him is so much more than just knowledge. Knowing him is so much more than anointing. We don't spend time with Jesus to get anointing or to be more anointed. We don't spend time with Jesus for things to happen. We spend time with him because we just simply want to know him. And out of that knowing, out of that relationship, just out of simplicity of knowing him, everything else is going to flow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, just for your consuming love. Thank you, Jesus. See, when you spend time just with him, not just trying to get somewhere, not just trying to pray lots of stuff, not trying to hear something from him, but just simply being with him, what happens is you become more aware of him being with you through the rest of the day. You know, why does Jesus say, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you? If you remain in me, I'll... Because by abiding in him, by literally being with him, you become much more aware of his presence. You become more of him aware in your life and around you. Because you abide with him, then his presence abides and remains in and around you when you are doing your everyday stuff. That's why they said these guys have been with Jesus. It wasn't that they'd been with him for 3.5 years just learning how to be ministers. There was something about the presence of God on their lives. But that presence abided because they'd abided. Something of the presence of God had stuck on them. It's pretty good, isn't it? Because we all carry God wherever we go because he's in us. But there's a difference between just being a believer and having God in you and being a Christian, doing your everyday stuff, and the difference between just being like that and then somebody who's been with him, abided in him, taken time out with him. There's something that sticks on you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, just for a decluttering this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Father, we just thank you over these coming, particularly over these coming weeks. where thousands of people are going to hear the gospel. Father, we just thank you that you want to work through every one of us to touch somebody's life, at least one person's life, if not many, over these coming weeks in particular. Father, as we abide in you, it's just that sense of your presence about our lives, that we've been with you, that we go on being with you, that you would just reveal yourself into people's lives in these coming weeks. That they would just be arrested by your presence. They would just be arrested with who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, have a good day.